Spring is finally here, and it's that time of year when plans start becoming real. Trips are getting booked, the calendar is filling up, and the energy is shifting. Make this season count. By starting right now, you'll hit summer already feeling more confident speaking and understanding a brand new language. Whether you're prepping for a dream vacation, reconnecting with your family heritage, or just finally checking learn a new language off your bucket list, Rosetta Stone is the way to go. They've been the trusted leader in language learning for over 30 years because they skip the boring stuff. There's no memorizing random vocabulary lists or leaning on chunky translations. Instead, their intuitive method helps you naturally absorb the language by connecting words and visuals to real-world meaning. It's about learning in context, the way language was actually meant to be learned. As a trusted expert with millions of users, Rosetta Stone offers 25 different languages, including Spanish, French, German, Japanese, and more. It really is the ultimate tool for genuine growth. Ready to start learning a new language this spring? Visit rosettastone.com/rs10 today to explore Rosetta Stone and choose the language that's right for you. Go to rosettastone.com/rs10 now and begin your language learning journey. Testing season is right around the corner, and this is when confidence really matters. When kids take time to review key concepts and strengthen their skills before assessments, it can make all the difference. IXL helps reinforce what they're learning right now, so they walk into every test feeling prepared, capable, and confident. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts. Designed for students from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL delivers personalized, interactive practice that adapts to your child's level and pace. It's an easy, effective way to support learning as the school year heads into its final stretch. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
What's going on, everybody? It is the latest edition of Phillies Today. Justin Morgenstein back with you again on this Friday morning, and we've got postseason baseball to talk about. I'm hype. I know the city is hype. And if you're a baseball fan, this is just the best time of the year. The weather's getting cooler. Red October is coming. Like, let's go. Let's freaking go. It is time. It feels like we've been waiting for this all summer long, and I'm just so excited to get into this and break down this past series with the Phils over the Pirates, as well as just the playoff outlook in general for the Phillies. So let's just jump right into this thing. The Phils, of course, clinch a postseason berth, as well as get the number 4 seed in the National League against the Pirates on Tuesday, thanks to Johan Rojas' dramatic walk-off single. We'll get into that and the rest of the postseason breakdown in just a minute. But first, really quickly, I'm going to give you a little recap just of this series with the Pirates, the final home regular season series at Citizens Bank Park this year. Man, where's the season gone? It feels like it has absolutely flown by. But last home regular season series at CBP, Phils take 2-3. Obviously, nothing in this series truly matters after Tuesday night with the win and the Cubs loss. Meanwhile, the Cubs, my goodness, they are in a free fall of their own. But it seems like nobody wants that last wild card spot at this point. Diamondbacks have lost a few. The Cubs are struggling. Reds are struggling. Marlins, we'll see. But the Phils don't have to worry about any of that because they have their spot locked up once again as the number 4 seed in the National League, the number 1 wild card. So let's get into some takeaways from this series. Tuesday night, the clincher, of course. Phils win 3-2 in 10 innings. We'll get to Aaron Nola right now. Nola looks really good again for the second outing in a row, and especially the second postseason clincher in a row. Last year against the Houston Astros, he had that perfect game into the seventh inning and was really dominant. It was a big reason why the Phils were able to secure that win in the final series of the year and get to the postseason. Does the same thing again earlier this week. Goes 6 2/3 while allowing one run, just a solo homer to Reynolds. 4 hits, 8 strikeouts, and no walks. Feels like him and Caleb Cotham have made some adjustments with what he's throwing in these last couple starts. Really noticed the cutter usage, which he's been experimenting with all year, has gone down these past couple games. And he's really sticking with that fastball, curveball, changeup mix, which has really looked good, especially the two-seamer, which he's getting in on the hands to left-handed hitters, which runs back in over the plate. Has been really effective for him over the years and seems like he might be finding that once again, which would be absolutely massive for the Phils. And what would be massive for the Phils is just Aaron Nola having any sort of, you know, remnants of his old self and himself over these last two starts during the postseason. Look, he is going to be a massive, massive piece for this team if they plan on getting to the next level and winning the World Series this year. And having Aaron Nola at his peak performance, again, just absolutely massive for this team. And he will not start again this year, so he will come into the playoffs off of two really good starts. So there is reason to be encouraged by what you've seen from Aaron Nola. You can't fully believe. I understand. We've been on the Aaron Nola roller coaster plenty of times, especially this year. But Nola looks good over these past two starts, so that is something to be optimistic about for sure. He's simply pitching, it feels like, with more conviction, just commanding his fastball, which for any pitcher is important, but especially for Aaron Nola, is really the key to his confidence, it seems like. So, again, do I fully trust him? Not necessarily, but just good signs from Aaron Nola heading into the postseason. Later in that game, you have Brandon Marsh with a solo homer to give the Phils a 1-0 lead. Good swing from Marshy, and looks like he's gaining some confidence heading into the postseason. I know he's been on a bit of a of not one of his best runs as of late. Strikeout rate's been up a little bit, but getting Brandon Marsh confident heading into the postseason would be ideal as well. Get some more thump in the bottom of that lineup. And Brandon Marsh last year, you saw he had one of the bigger postseason moments in that Braves clincher where he had the homer off of Charlie Morton, it was. And again, he's just another guy where if you can get his confidence up heading into the postseason, that is never a bad thing. Craig Kimbrell lets up a home run in the eighth inning to young stud Henry Davis for the Pirates. And I got to tell you, the Kimbrell postseason moment, you know there's going to be one. It's just going to be absolutely killer. Like, he is very far down on my trust list right now in terms of Phillies relievers. He's just given up the long ball over the past month, month and a half or so. And it seems like it's going to be a closer by committee. Rob Thompson's kind of talked about that. And we'll get into the bullpen roles later in the pod. But, boy, Craig Kimbrell, it's really tough to trust him right now. And I just don't see a world where I can feel confident in Craig Kimbrell fully going into any sort of save situation or any situation in general heading into the postseason. So we'll see what's up with Craig Kimbrell as the postseason gets going and how Rob Thompson utilizes him. But all this set up for the moment of the night, which was Johan Rojas's moment. That was just awesome. Going into that inning, I was just thinking to myself, boy, what if Johan could have a moment right here? It would just be so awesome for not only him personally, but just for this team who has relied on so many of these young kids that have come up over the past 2 years. For him to be up in that spot against a pitcher like David Bednar and to deliver in that moment after a couple rough swings to get to 0-2, but he fights off a 97-mile-an-hour fastball, shoots it in the center field, scores Christian Pache, and the place goes absolutely nuts. Like, that was just a moment. And we've had so many of these this year where you go, wow, that's going to be, you know, it's a Phillies yearbook moment, as Jack Fritz likes to say. But it's one of those things that you feel so good about this team when these moments happen. And it's just been so many of them this year. And the celebrations were awesome. Obviously, it took him in the center field right after it happened. But just everything within the locker room between Garrett Stubbs' overalls looking like a frat kid at a tailgate on a Saturday, that was amazing. Topper speeches are back. How many more, JT? Gotta love that, too. Trey and Alvarado bringing out the tequila. The Castellanos interview. I just couldn't get enough of all this content. And I was watching through the entire thing throughout the whole night, and I could have watched it for hours on end. It was just, I love those celebrations. And the way this team feels like they should celebrate because of all the work they put in, they really do deserve it. And a baseball season's long. It's hard, man. It's 162 games. They deserve, when you put in that work and you put in that time, to have a celebration like that. It just, it really does mean something to them. You can tell. And it was just really cool to see them all come together like that and celebrate like they did last year. And hey, hopefully there's many more coming soon. So that was awesome. Tuesday night, super fun. And quickly, we'll get to Wednesday and Thursday now. And Wednesday night, we're going to call it the hangover game or the Garrett Stubbs game, whatever you want to say. The Phillies win 7-6. Just a weird game. A weird lineup. A lot of guys sitting. And they go down 5-0 right away. Almost similar to how it went down last year when they clinched in Houston. They got absolutely smoked the next two nights, especially the night after them clinching down there in Houston. But I'm thinking it's the same thing this year. Like, they go down 5-0, and Rangers get knocked around a little bit. We'll get to him in a second. They're 5-run deficit, and they find a way to chip away at it like they've done all season long. And the Stubbs homer, like, that was just hilariously awesome. I mean, a guy like him deserves to have that moment. When he probably isn't going to get a single at-bat in the postseason. He didn't last year. With everything he just contributes from a clubhouse and just a pure vibe standpoint, like, he's just a guy I'm so happy to have on our team. And he's, whether he's on the field or not, he's making an impact. And the guys clearly love him. He's just a fun dude to be around. And hey, those overalls and the celebration, again, that was just pure comedy. You had to love it. And the jersey after the game the kid had over the dugout where Garrett Stubbs like, oh, I don't see many people with my jersey. He signed it. He said, dancing on my own. Obviously, Garrett Stubbs. And that was just a cool moment. Shout out to the NBC crew because they picked up that that moment really well. And it was just, again, another cool moment. One of the many between the fans and the players of the Philadelphia Phillies this year. So that was really cool to see as well. Plus, they didn't blow the big Harper homer. He had the go-ahead homer in the seventh inning. I know it's been a theme of the Phillies this year, an ongoing bit, that they tend to blow the big Bryce Harper homers, whether it was against the Giants in that one game, number 300, of course, the one against the Iglesias with the Braves. And it finally didn't do it. Too bad it was in a game that didn't matter, but hey, they did not blow the game. And getting back to Ranger for 1 second, didn't expect much from Ranger. Obviously, they were partying the night before, and typically he has a different routine, I'm sure, prior to his start. So not worried about Ranger at all. Still feel confident about him heading into the postseason. He was horrendous against Houston last year after they clinched as well. So not worried about Ranger, and he will be fine as the Game 3 starter for the Phils. Last night, really quick, Phils lose 3-2. Who cares? The two major stories out of this one were Schwarber, another leadoff bomb, number 46 of the season, his 11th leadoff homer. Just has me thinking about, you know, him in the postseason again. He was just so electric in so many of those games last year. Like, I need a Kyle Schwarber leadoff home run in the postseason again so badly. He had two last year. I think it was game three against the Padres at home and then against Verlander in the World Series. I just can't wait for that electricity. It is going to be absolutely awesome to be at the ballpark and experiencing that type of thing again. And really, really exciting. But the other big story, of course, was Bryce Harper getting ejected by Angel Hernandez on one of the worst check swing calls you could possibly ever see at a ball game. I mean, how is this guy still umpiring Major League games? I know there's a strong union, and he's obviously protected by it, and he still is umpiring games. But in all seriousness, this is getting ridiculous here. And Bryce had every reason to react as he did. I mean, I know the game doesn't mean anything, but you're still a Major League Baseball player trying to do your job. And to have that egregious of a missed call was absolutely insane. But hey, good for that kid that got the helmet. And again, what a cool moment between Bryce and that kid who caught the helmet. He signs it for him and says Philly on it. It was just another one of the many very cool moments between the fans and the Philadelphia Phillies players this year. But that'll wrap it up for the Pirates breakdown of this podcast. But Let's get to the fun stuff. Let's get to the postseason stuff, get into some potential matchups. It's looking like they're going to play the Diamondbacks, but the Marlins are only a game behind. There was chaos in the Mets-Marlins game last night with a rainout in the ninth inning. Destiny Legardo, who does a great job covering the Phillies, had a tweet regarding what this can mean for the Phillies potentially with the game being suspended now, with the Marlins up 2-1 in the ninth inning against the Mets. It says, the Marlins-Mets game possibly getting suspended, or did get suspended, might lead to chaos that could really benefit the Phillies. Arizona's magic number over the Marlins is at 3, and Miami has the tiebreaker of the Arizona and Miami. So if Miami is a game better than Arizona over the weekend, the Marlins will have to fly back to New York on Monday. If Miami holds on to win that, then they secure the second wild card and would face the Phillies the next day. I mean, that would be insane, which is why they were trying so hard to get that game in last night. And Skip Schumacher was absolutely freaking out on the Mets ground crew staff, which I don't know if that was warranted or not, but you could tell that the Marlins were really trying to get this game in because they would have to fly into New York literally to play an inning and a half of baseball the day before the wild card starts, which would be crazy. And we'll see if baseball steps in and, you know, adjust the wild card or what ends up happening there. But that would end up being a crazy scenario. And like I mentioned earlier, the Cubs get swept out in Atlanta. They were really looking like they were going to be the 2 seed for a while. And we weren't sure if they were maybe going to take over as the number one with the Phillies struggling early in September. But they are really struggling, it seems. And they're in danger of not making the postseason for sure. It is looking like it could definitely be the D-backs in the 2 spot and Miami in the 3. But we'll see what happens there this weekend. If you're asking who would I rather play in terms of the Marlins and the Diamondbacks, look, the Diamondbacks are a better team than the Marlins. There's no doubt about that. But there's something about the Marlins that just always has me scared when it comes to the Phillies. I know Sandy Alcantara is hurt, and Luis Arraez is also hurt. I believe he has a foot or an ankle injury going on there, and he was limping around City Field the other day, has not played. So they're struggling with injuries, but again, something about the Marlins, it just always scares me a little bit. And I know that the Diamondbacks losing in Chicago last night also might shake up their rotation a little bit because Zach Gallen will have to pitch against the Astros, who are also playing for something tonight. So if they win tonight and they lock up that 2 seed, I would think Merrill Kelly would start game 1 and then you would get Gallen in game 2. So he would be on regular rest. And then game 3, I guess, potentially maybe a Zach Davies, Ryan Nelson type of piggyback. You would have to feel definitely better about the Phillies rotation and pitching staff as the depth as a whole heading into that series, including the bullpen. So that would be my breakdown of who I would want to play, whether it's the D-backs, the Marlins. I would probably rather face the Marlins just if we're talking talent on paper. But the Diamondbacks, I don't know. Their pitching staff doesn't scare me past Gallen and Kelly, so I would think that they would be able to handle either team. But, hey, it's the postseason. The Cardinals probably thought they were going to handle the Phillies last year, so you certainly will have to come ready to play, and I have no doubt the Phillies will do that because I think they realize the opportunity that's in front of them, and they really would like to have a rematch with the Atlanta Braves from last year as well. I had some random Phillies postseason thoughts that wanted to get out there and was just thinking about during these games over the past few nights and definitely, you know, could end up having an impact on the postseason. So the Phillies not backing their way in the playoffs this year has just been a very pleasant experience. Like, I would not be handling this well if they were the Cubs, the Diamondbacks, any of these teams. It just, I felt like last year, especially if you remember during that Washington Nationals series when there were all those rainouts and just things that felt like were out of the Phillies' control, like, it's stressful. And the players feel that stress, no doubt. And the fact that the Phillies are able to line up their rotation the way they want, rest the guys who they want. Nola won't start another game this year. Seems like Bryson Stott needs some rest. I know he was tiring out last year and hasn't had the best month of September, so wouldn't be shocked to see him continue to sit a little bit this weekend. So that is good from a Phillies perspective for sure. And, hey, the other teams are going to be definitely taxed heading into this postseason. So that could have a positive impact on the Phillies as well. Like I said, the rotation will be lined up the way they like, which will be, as Rob Thompson finally officially announced and set in stone, Wheeler Game 1 and Nola Game 2. We do not know exactly how it will line up after that, but I would assume it is Rangers Suarez Game 3. And there's no way you can convince me that Christopher Sanchez should not be starting a potential Game 4, whether I would assume that is Game 4 of the DS, or we'll see how, you know, again, it all depends on how the Phillies are able to take care of business, whether they sweep, whether they lose a game. That'll all depend on that. But I could see Christopher Sanchez playing sort of a similar role as Ranger Suarez did in a way last year. I could see him in a couple scenarios, either starting a game and giving them, you know, 4 to 5 good innings, and then Rob Thompson in the bullpen take over from there. Or I could see him putting Sanchez in the bullpen and having him come in a big situation. Because I feel like Christopher Sanchez's heartbeat is kind of similar to Ranger, where he can come in sort of any situation and be able to just, you know, be calm and execute pitches and just be effective in whatever he does. And we've seen it all year. He has been a really big piece for this baseball team. And we were complaining in the first couple months of the season about the fifth starter thing. That all went to bed as soon as Chris Sanchez came up. And he has done a really, really good job for this team this year and has made some really, really big starts for them. And that brings up the point of, does Taijuan Walker have a role this postseason? I really don't think he does. Just by the simply because of the fact that he can't come out of the bullpen. He typically wouldn't be an opener because it's not like he gets off to great starts and kind of tails off at the end. It's sort of random on how he just gives up his runs. I know he hasn't been as bad in the beginning of games as he was earlier in the year, but I just don't see I don't see Taijuan Walker having a real role in this postseason run. So that will be something to monitor as well. Also, Johan Rojas, we talked about him. He had the big walk-off hit, and he has just been an absolute rock in center field this year. He needs to play in every postseason game. Righty, lefty, I do not care. He is just one of those guys that he's going to benefit from this experience so well, and I think he's ready for it. We saw, he hit a 97-mile-an-hour pitch off David Bednar, who's a very good pitcher, a liner out to center field in an 0-2 count, with the game on the line, the playoffs on the line the other night. He is ready to get big at-bats in these situations, and it's going to be really exciting to see him kind of take advantage of that opportunity. So really excited about Rojas, and also really excited to see Rhys Hoskins taking some batting practice here tonight. I know he said he's taking 70 to 75 swings a day. He's going to face live pitching soon. Rob Thompson on the WIP Morning Show the other morning said that the World Series would be definitely in play for Rhys, whether that's a DH or, you know, as a pinch hitter. That would just be awesome. I need to see the Rhys Hoskins at bat in the postseason. That would just be absolutely must watch. You got to be rooting for Rhys here. He has just been an absolute rock for this team over the past, you know, since 2017, him and Aaron Nola being the longest tenured Phillies with the club right now. Would just be awesome to see Rhys go out in a good way. I know he hits free agency this offseason, so just being able to watch him one more time, be able to maybe come through with a big hit for the Phils in the postseason would be awesome. So we'll be monitoring that as well for sure. Real quickly, this weekend, Phils at Citi Field against the Mets in an absolutely meaningless series. Just get out of there, rested and healthy, please. The love of all that is good. Just please, please get out of there healthy. Get out of there well-rested. I know they have Taijuan Walker on Friday. They're going to throw Sanchez, I'm assuming, in limited innings on Saturday. And I don't think they even have a starter lined up for Sunday. It'll probably be Lorenzen and some bullpen guys. Maybe they'll bring some guys up from that Clearwater unit that they have down there, that the few minor leaguers staying ready for during the playoffs. So we will see what happens there. And it is really weird seeing the Phillies be able to, you know, have a series at the end of the year where it doesn't mean anything and they're already in the postseason, unlike last year where it truly came down to the very end, which is just, you know, not an easy situation to deal with, especially if you're a player, just in terms of stress level and you know, putting pressure on yourself to get it done. So that is that. And before we get out of here, let's do a quick standings check around the league. And like I said, the National League is turning out to be really close down the stretch here with, depending on what happens with this Marlins-Mets game, they could be playing on the Monday prior to the wild card game, which is going to be on Tuesday. Just that would be insane and honestly great for the Phillies because the Marlins would be coming in off. They would be traveling to New York from Houston and then have to travel to Philly the next day to play in a playoff game, which just seems pretty wild. And, that just doesn't seem like an ideal situation for them. And in the American League, we have some interesting stuff going on as well with Houston, Seattle, and Texas all fighting for that AL West crown. Texas looks like they might have the upper hand right now. They're up two games. But Houston or Seattle, looks like one of the two are not going to make the postseason. And, they're battling it out with each other right now, or they just did. And Seattle with a big walk-off win last night. Former Phil J.P. Crawford with a massive hit to keep their season alive, too. So it will be interesting to see how that battle ends up turning out down the stretch here. So, again, the Phils in a great spot here. Postseason baseball coming up. It's just super exciting, man. Like, this is what we've been waiting for all season long. And they finally made it back, and they are ready to start Red October, go on their run. And it's just going to be really fun for everyone involved. The fans, the players, just the whole city. It's going to be on fire like it was last year. So that is awesome stuff. Thank you again for listening to another edition of Phillies Today. Let's hope I'm coming at you next week with a little NLDS preview. But for now, let's gear up for some home playoff games, have some fun, and let's see what the Phils can do here. This is Justin Morgenstein for Phillies Today.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? MaintainX is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With MaintainX, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to MaintainX.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter X.com/AI.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hi, I'm Kirk Cameron. Is health insurance eating up your budget for 2026? If you're looking for ways to better steward your finances, consider this. Christian Healthcare Ministries is a health insurance alternative at half the cost. As a ministry, CHM allows you to share the burden of medical bills with other believers. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/solution. That's chministries.org/solution.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney refreshing!
Introducing the all-new MLB Plus, your ticket to streaming baseball's best.
Let's go!
Enjoy MLB Network 24/7 with live out-of-market games and award-winning shows. Enhanced game nights with MLB Big Inning, live and commercial-free. And hear live home and away radio broadcasts of every game, blackout-free. Even stream minor league games all season. It's all here and it's all new. Get MLB Plus for just $59.99 a year. Visit MLB.com/MLB Plus.